One of the greatest challenges to the truthfulness of Christianity is the problem about the suffering of good people and the prosperity of bad people.
对基督教真实上的最大的挑战就是好人受苦，恶人插上。
This problem not only challenges us intellectually, but it also challenges us emotionally.
这个挑战不仅是对我们这个理性方面是挑战，并且对我们的情绪也是一个挑战。
It's a challenge both to the head and to the heart.
它是对我们的头脑和对我们的心灵都是挑战。
During the past 2 years, my wife and I and a few other people from our Chinese congregation have been involved in helping out the Karen people, which is a tribe from Burma, and it's also called Myanmar.
在过去两年，我还有我的太太，还有几个英文堂的同工我们一直在帮助从这个缅甸他们的一些难民，他们是一个部落族，他们叫科伦族。
Most of the Karen people group are Baptist Christians.
绝大多数科伦族的这个科伦族里面，他们都是这个基督徒。
The Burmese government has burned down many Karen villages and has enslaved or slaughtered many of the Karen Christians.
缅甸政府他们就烧毁了很多科伦族的这个村庄，他们也奴役并且这个迫害科伦族。
As a result, many of these refugees have had to flee to refugee camps in Thailand.
这个结果呢，就许多科伦族的这些科伦族人，他们就逃到缅甸的这个难民营。
A few of them have made it here to America.
有一些呢就来到了美国。
But most of them still remain in refugee camps where they don't even have access to electricity or running water.
在大多数的这个科伦族呢，他们还在这个最原始的这个泰国这个难民营，他们没有电，也没有这个水。
When people hear stories like that, it's natural for them to doubt.
当我们听到这个故事以后，我们就会强不自禁的，我们就会想。
It's natural to ask questions like, why does God allow the Karen Christians to suffer so much?
你就会问为什么神会让这个非常这个良善的这个科伦族人他们会受这么大的这个迫害
？Why does He allow the Burmese government to be so prosperous and powerful?
为什么神会容许这个缅甸政府他们还会这么有权利，并且这么成熟？
So skeptics ask, doesn't this injustice indicate that the powerful, just God of the Bible does not exist?
所以就会问，就是说，这个是不是就表明，就圣经里面所说的这个公义的神，还有这个有全能的神，他是不是还存在？
The skeptics' argument goes like this.
所以这个你会怀疑这个。这个论据会是这么建立。
If God were a God of justice, He would want to rescue the Karen Christian and punish the Burmese government.
如果神是公义的神，他就会拯救科伦族人，他也会惩罚这个缅甸政府。
If God were a God of power, He would have the power to rescue the Karen Christians and punish the Burmese government.
如果神是一个全能的神，他就有能力来拯救各民族人，他也有能力来惩罚这个缅甸政府。
However, the Karen Christian continue to suffer and Burmese government continues to prosper.
但是呢，这个各民族人呢继续的来受苦，那个缅甸政府呢继续的来有这个创伤掌权。
And therefore, either God is not a God of justice, or He is not a God of power, or He doesn't exist.
因此，那么神他就不是一个公义的神，他就没有这个他也不是一个全能神，或者呢，神就不存在。
upon the suffering of good people and the prosperity of bad people is not a new one.
所以其实这个关于好人受苦恶人就是享乐这个问题呢其实也不是一个新问题。
In Psalm 73, the worship leader named Asaph, who led the children of Israel, struggled with this question.
在这个诗篇第73篇就是以色列有一个敬管理敬拜的他叫做亚瑟他就常常对这个问题就挣扎过。
Asaph writes about the prosperity of the wicked in Psalm 73.
他是在就在诗篇第73篇他就写到关于这个恶人就是平安
I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked yet no struggles their bodies are healthy and strong they clothe themselves with violence and their callous hearts come in iniquity they scoff and speak with malice in their arrogance they threaten oppression
for I envied the我见恶人和狂恶人想平安就心怀不平他们死的时候没有疼痛他们的力气却也重视他们不向别人受苦也不向别人遭灾他们所以骄傲如链子戴在他的线上情报如衣裳遮住他们的身体他们的眼睛因体胖而突出他们所得的过于心里所想的他们讥笑人凭恶意说欺人的话他们说话自高
Later in the song Asaph contrasts the prosperity of these wicked people with his own suffering
在后来呢他也就是就是联系到这个恶人的这个享乐和他自己的这个就是受苦
Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. When Asaph saw the prosperity of the wicked people and he experienced the suffering of his own, he was tempted to deny the faith.
当亚瑟他就是看到这个恶人常常在这样延续到他自己受苦以后，他这个事情就会引起他来否定自己的信仰。
Seemed as though if either God was not a God of power or he was not a God of justice, or maybe he didn't exist at all.
所以要么就是说神他不是公义的要么他就是没有权的或者呢神就不存在
But then Asaph came to the temple sanctuary and his perspective totally changed
然后呢这个但是当这个亚瑟他来到神的圣所以后他的这个观点就完全改变了
When I tried to understand this it was oppressive to me until I entered the sanctuary of God Then I understood their final destinySurely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrorism, for terrors. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterwards, you will take me into glory.
我思索怎能明白这事，眼看时机为难。当我进了神的圣所，思想他的结局。你实在把他们安在华地使他们掉在尘埃之中他们转眼之间成了何等的荒凉他们被惊风灭尽了
When Asaph entered the sanctuary of God he began to have an eternal perspective rather than a temporary perspective and as a result this is the conclusion he came up with
所以当亚瑟呢他进了神的这个圣所以后他的这个观点就完全的改变了他就是从这个就是永恒的这个角度来看这个看这个事情
Though the wicked may prosper now it's only for a moment
尽管这个恶人他虽然是昌盛但是他只是暂时的
someday God will punish the wicked.
所以有一天神会惩罚他们。
It might be on this side of the grave.
也许是在这个坟墓的墓地这一边。
And it definitely will be on the other side of the grave.
在最终是在这个亮神墓地的另一边。
However, the righteous have the best of both worlds.
但是呢，义人呢，他有就是最好的两个世界。
On one hand, they get to experience God's presence right here in this world.
一方面呢，他们是就是在现今呢，他们能够经历神的同在。
And yet, on the other hand, they get to experience eternal prosperity in heaven.
在第二方面呢，他们也会经历这个永远的就是同昌盛，就是你死了以后进了乐园以后和神在一起的一个永远的这个平安。
But was Asaph naive?
对啊，这个亚作是不是非常天真呢？
Was he consuming what Karl Marx called the opiate of the masses?
是不是他在创作就是这个马克思所说的这个群众的鸦片？
Karl Marx called religion the opiate of the masses because he thought that religion was used by oppressive leaders to numb the minds of the masses to the pain in the world so that they would not rise up to combat injustice.
马克思就曾经说这个宗教是麻痹人的这个良药，因为这个各国家的领袖呢就利用宗教就是来麻醉人民，只让他们就是看到社会这个不平等现象以后，他们也不会起来造反。
So isn't it naive to believe that God will ultimately punish the wicked and that He will also reward the righteous?
这是不是这一想法就天真呢？是就是神他最终他要惩罚这个恶人，他也会奖赏这个义人。
Find out the answer to that question by taking a look at a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 13 about the kingdom of Babylon.
所以我们可以来就是找到这个答案，就是可以从这个以赛亚书十三章关于就是这个先知以赛亚他预言巴比伦这个帝国的命运，我们来可以看这个问题。
In this chapter, Isaiah pronounces a prophecy of doom upon the wicked kingdom of Babylon.
在这个十三篇里面，这个以色列呢，他宣告这个巴比伦帝国的这个灭亡的命运。
To see whether God will punish the wicked who seem to be prosperous, we can take a look at whether Babylon was truly wicked and prosperous.
在看这个神是不是就惩罚这个巴比伦这个昌盛的这个巴比伦帝国？那么首先要看这个巴比伦是不是他就是这个繁荣昌盛的。
Secondly, we'll take a look at the meaning behind this prophecy.
然后第二个接着我们会看就是在神惩罚巴比伦帝国这个意义。
And thirdly, we'll take a look at whether this prophecy actually came true.
那么最后呢，我们就看这个预言是不是就真的实现了。
So was Babylon truly prosperous and wicked?
那么这个巴比伦帝国是不是真的就是繁荣昌盛呢？
They were definitely prosperous.
确实是。
It was located strategically for trading with all the regions of the known world at that time.
它是很理想的，就是位于这个贸易，就是和这个世界各地能够联系这么一个好的地理环境。
It's located between two great rivers, the Euphrates and the Tigris, which traders could use to get them to the major cities.Of Nineveh and to the Persian Gulf and within 100 miles of the Mediterranean Sea.
对，它是就是在两条河，一个叫尤法拉底河，还有一个叫做底格里斯河，在两条河的之间。那这两条河呢，就可以把它连起来，就可以通到就是尼尼微这主要的这个城市 并且还有连到这个波斯啊、还有就是在100里以内可以到这个地中海的啊、地方。
And because of its strategic location, Babylon was the main link of commercial between the east and the west.
就是由于它这个特别啊、这种战略位置呢，所以就是让它就成了这个东方和西方一个商业的枢纽。
As you can imagine, Babylon became known for its extravagance.
所以你可以想象啊、这个巴比伦呢，它就是成为一个非常奢侈的地方。
The city was the home of the lush 7-story high hanging gardens, which was considered one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world.
对，它这个城市呢就变得非常啊、豪华富丽，它就有这个花园呢，就吊在这个七层楼的那么高，就是好像成为世界这个七个这个世界的观景之一。
The city had 53 temples and close to 1,000 chapels to worship 2,500 gods.
对，他们这个城市呢有53个寺庙。有接近这个1000个的这个会堂，并且，但是他们要崇拜就是2500个神。
They had many houses for temple prostitutes.
许多这个妓女啊，就是在那里。
And according to Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar had a golden idol that he built that was over 9 stories tall.
根据但以理书第三章就说到这个尼布加利沙这个王呢。他就建了一个就是偶像，这个偶像呢就是有九层楼那么高。
That wasn't the only thing that's huge.
那不仅就是说不仅是这些。
The walls that surrounded the city were the height of a 30-story building and they were 87 feet wide.
那这个城墙就是这个城市的城墙呢，它是有30层楼那么高，并且有这个87英尺宽。
In the United States Interstate Highway System, each lane is approximately 10 feet wide.
在美国高速公路，那么一个车道大概是10英尺。
That means that the Babylonian walls were over eight lanes wide.
这说明就是说呢，这个巴比伦这个城墙呢，大概就相当于大概8个车道这么宽。
So the huge size made the walls impenetrable.
所以这么大的这个城墙呢，就让这个城墙呢就是坚不可摧。
In fact, there wasn't technology to break these kind of walls.Until the World War I.
所以实际上事实上呢就是没有任何一个技术能够把这个长城摧毁，一直到大概第一次世界大战。
But to make it even harder to break into the city, the walls are surrounded by a 30-foot moat.
但是你更难进攻这个城市，就是因为在这个城市外边呢，它还有这个30英尺的这个护城河。
But Babylon not only became prosperous because of its strategic location, but also became prosperous because of its powerful army.
这个巴比伦城呢，它成为这么强盛呢，不仅是属于它有一个好的位置，并且它还有一个就是非常强大的军队。
This army conquered country after country after country.
他们这个军队呢就征服了一个国家接着一个国家。
When they conquered a city, they would kill those people who were in their way.
当他们征服了这个国家的时候，他们就把就是阻挡他们的人就杀掉。
They would take any possession they wanted and leave what they did.
他们就掳掠他们所想要的东西，他们然后就把所剩下就
2 Corinthians chapter 25 describes how cruel the Babylonians were when they conquered Jerusalem.
列王记下
So,
再往下，二十五节提到这个巴比伦怎么能够征服了这个耶路撒冷。
So in the ninth year of Zedekiah's reign, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, marched against Jerusalem with his whole army. He had camped outside the city and built siege works all around it. Then the city wall was broken through, and the whole army of Judah fled at night through the gate. But the Babylonian army pursued the king and overtook them in the plains of Jericho. All his soldiers were separated from him and scattered. And he was captured. He was taken to the king of Babylon at Riblah, where sentence was pronounced on him. They killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. Then they put out his eyes, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. Nebuzaradan, commander of the imperial guard, set fire to the temple of the Lord, the royal palace, and all the houses of Jerusalem. Every important building he burnt down. The Babylonians broke up the bronze pillars, the movable stands, and the bronze sea that were at the temple of the Lord, and they carried the bronze to the Babylon. They also took away the pots, shovels, wick trimmers, dishes, and all the bronze articles used in the temple service. The commander of the imperial guard took away the censers and sprinkling bowls, all that were made of pure gold or silver.
就是提到在西底家背叛巴比伦王，他做王第九年，就是十月初十日，巴比伦王尼布加利沙率领全军来攻击耶路撒冷，对城安营，四围周围过长，于是常被围困，直到西底家十一年四月初九，城里有大饥荒，甚至百姓都没有粮食，常被攻破。一切兵丁就在夜间从靠近王围两城中间的门逃跑，加利利人在四围广场，王就向亚拉伯逃走。加利利的军队追赶王，在耶利哥的平原上追上他，他的全军都离开他四散了。加利利人拿住王，就带他到利比拉，巴比伦王在那里审判他。这个还提到，就是说，耶和华，那时这个护卫长，尼布斯格达拉丹，将城里所剩下的百姓，并将投降巴比伦王的人，以及大众所剩下的人都掳去了。在耶和华的殿的铜柱跟耶和华这个盆座和铜铠，加利利人都打碎了，并且把它都运到巴比伦去了。
The Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem and they stole all of their possessions.
So,
they gouged out the eyes of the king of Judah. And the last thing the Jewish king saw was his children killed before his eyes.
并且这个最后这个王所看见的，就是说巴比伦把他的当着他面把他儿子杀。
And so when the Jewish people saw the cruelty of the Babylonians, they couldn't help wonder, why is God allowing the Babylonians to prosper, and why does He allow His own people to suffer so much?
所以当这个以色列人看到这个情况，这个巴比伦这么残忍以后，他们就会问，为什么神会容许这样的事情来发生呢？
And then God sent them a message through the prophet Isaiah.
所以神就通过这个先知以赛亚呢，就送给以色列人这个信息。
It was a prophecy that the kingdom of Babylon would someday be destroyed.
所以这个预言就是说巴比伦有一天就会被摧毁。
And so this prophecy gave the Jewish people hope that the prosperity of the Babylonians was only for a season.
所以这个预言呢，就给以色列人一个希望，就有一天呢，这个巴比伦他们就要被摧毁。
This prophecy can be found in Isaiah 13, verses 17 through 22.
这个预言可以在就是以赛亚书13章17到22节。
There are two main parts to this prophecy.
有两个部分，这个预言两个部分。
Let's read the first part in verses 17 through 19.
我们先读第一部分，就是17到19节。
See, I will stir up against them the Medes, who do not care for silver and have no delight in gold. Their bows will strike down the young man. They will have no mercy on infants, nor will they look with compassion on children. Babylon, the jewel of kingdoms, the glory of the Babylonians' pride, will be overthrown by God like Sodom and Gomorrah.
我必激动马代人来攻击他们。马代人不注重银子，也不喜爱金子。他们必用弓击碎少年人，不怜悯妇人所生的，盐也不顾惜孩子。巴比伦素来为列国的荣耀，为加利利人所冠夸的华美，必像神所倾覆的索多玛、阿米拉一样。
The first part of Isaiah's prophecy was that Babylonian would be overpowered by the kingdom of the Medes.
所以以色列预言的第一部分就是说这个巴比伦呢，他会被这个马代所推翻。
The prophecy didn't make sense at that time.
这个预言在当时呢，就是听起来简直不可相信。
First of all, the Medes were allies with the Babylonians.
因为那个时候，这个马代呢，他是巴比伦的这个同盟国。
So it'd be ridiculous for the Medes to overpower Babylon.
所以就不可能这个马代去就是来推翻这个巴比伦。
But less than 200 years after the prophecy, things began to change.
但是这个200年以后，这个事情就有了变化。
The Medes changed their allegiance to the Babylonians to the Persians who had once been their enemies.
So this Madai 呢，他就就投靠以前常常是他们的敌人，就是巴比伦。
And in 539 BC, the Medes and the Persians joined forces against all odds to overthrow Babylon and fulfill Isaiah's prophecy.
So in 539, 这个马代和波斯他们就联合起来，就一起来推翻这个巴比伦。
But why did Isaiah mention the Medes rather than the more well-known Persians?
为什么以色列在这里边提到这个马代，而不是这个当时很强盛的这个波斯呢？
One commentator answered that question this way. The Medes are probably mentioned here rather than the Persians because of their greater ferocity and also because they were better known to the people of Isaiah's day.
所以就是上面有这个就是有些这么的回答，就是说因为那个时候呢，这个马代呢更被这个以色列人更加熟悉。
According to Greek historian Xenophon, their commander Cyrus the Persian acknowledged that the Medes had served his cause without the thought of monetary reward.
根据希腊的这个历史学家罗芬说这个当时这个波斯王忽略呢，他也常见承认这个马代当时呢来和他们这个就是在一起商量，并不是就是来因为这个就是钱财。
So it was just as Isaiah prophesied, the Babylonians were overcome by the Medes who showed no mercy and cared not for silver or gold.
就是像这个以赛亚所预言那样，这个巴比伦被摧毁，这个马代摧毁巴比伦呢，他不是为了这个金钱，他并且也表现得非常这个残忍。
But the strangest part about this prophecy was not that the Babylon would be conquered by the Medes.Instead, the strangest part was that Babylon would be destroyed at all.
所以最让人不可思议就是说他这个巴比伦不是被这个马代所推翻，实际上是巴比伦是被这个任何人都可以推翻他。
You see, the city seemed unconquerable.
你看见那个城市是坚不可摧的。
Remember, to get into the city, you would have to swim through a 30-foot moat and then somehow have to get through a wall that was 30 stories tall and 8 highways lanes wide.
你要记住就是你要去进过那个城市，你首先必须要游过这个30英尺宽的这个河，然后呢你还要就是要通过这个30层楼高的这个墙，就是还有这个8个车道宽的那么个长墙，你要通过它，这些的是不可能的。
So how did the Medes and the Persians manage to accomplish this impossible feat?
所以这个马代和波斯呢，他是怎么能够进攻这个征服这个巴比伦呢？
They could go over the walls.
他们不能从墙上过去。
They could go through the walls.
他们也不能穿过这个长墙。
So they had to go under the wall.
所以他们最后呢，就从长墙底下过去。
You see, the Euphrates River ran underneath the walls of Babylon.
所以你知道刚才提到，就是尤法拉底河呢，它是从这个巴比伦长墙底下过去。
So the Medes and the Persians built some canals, and then they diverted the water into those canals.
所以这个波斯和马代呢，他们就建立了运河，然后就把这个河水呢就引到这个运河里边去。
As a result, the Medes and Persian army were able to march under the walls through the dried up riverbed.
所以因为这个河引走了以后，所以这个河就枯干了，所以他们就能够进过这个城市呢，就从这个干枯的河流里边从这个长墙底下过去。
And since all the leaders of Babylon government were all at a drunken feast at the king's palace, the Medes and the Persians were able to conquer Babylon virtually without fight.
所以当时就因为这个巴比伦他们这些领袖呢，他们在皇宫里边他们醉酒欢宴，所以这个马代和波斯的兵子呢就不费这个吹灰之力就把他们就征服了。
Now let's read Isaiah 13, verses 20 to 22 to discover the second part of Isaiah's prophecy.
那么我们现在再看以赛亚书13章20到22节来看这个第二个部分这个预言。
Can you... Babylon will never be... Oh, I guess it is. Back, or it should be verses 20 through 22.Babylon will never be inhabited or lived in through all generations. No Arab will pitch his tent there. No servant will rest his flocks there. But desert creatures will lie there. Jackals will fill her houses. There the owls will dwell, and there the wild goats will leap about. Hyenas will howl in her strongholds. Jackals in her luxurious palaces. Her time is at hand, and her days will not be prolonged.
二十节，巴比伦其内必永无人烟，世世代代无人居住，亚拉伯人也不在那里执掌政衡，牧羊的人也不是羊群卧在那里，只有旷野的走兽卧在那里，暴笑的兽买了房屋，鸵鸟住在那里，野山羊在那里跳舞。豺狼逼在他的宫中呼号，野狗逼在他管理殿里吼叫。巴比伦受罚的时候临近，他的日子必不长久。
This part of prophecy sounded even crazier than the first part.
这一部分这个预言呢，就听起来好像比第一部分呢更不可能。
This prophecy was saying that Babylon would be inhabited by wild animals instead of human beings.
这个预言就说这个巴比伦呢，它就是让它就是成了这个野兽居住的地方，而不是人住的地方。
Sounds ridiculous.
听起来非常荒唐可笑。
Babylon was a superpower that day.
巴比伦在那个时候是一个超级大国。
It would be as if I would make a prophecy that New York City would be uninhabited by humans and only wild animals would live there.
就好像现在我说这个纽约市现在就将来会有不是人住的地方，现在是野兽住的地方。
But did this prophecy actually come true?
对，但是我们就来看这个以赛亚他这个预言是不是就真的实现了。
Slowly but surely it did.
虽然 When
Alexander the Great overthrew the Persians, he planned on restoring the major temple in Babylon, which was already in ruins, but he decided it wasn't worth it because it would cost too much.
当这个亚历山大大帝他这个推翻这个波斯以后呢，他当时计划是要这个恢复这个巴比伦这个城市，但是最后呢，他决定不建，因为这个代价太高。
After he died, the generals fought amongst themselves for the control of the city, and the resulting chaos, in the resulting chaos, the troops plundered the city.
所以当这个亚历山大大帝死了以后呢，他下边的将军呢就为了这个城市呢，就互相争斗，结果呢，这个城市就变得非常混乱，然后这些部队呢就开始掳掠这个城市。
It finally came to the point where the leaders decided that the cost of reconstruction would be just as much as building a new city, and so they built a new city called Seleucia that was 50 miles north of Babylon, and almost everybody moved there.
所以最后这些两兄长就发觉，就是说要重新恢复这个城市的代价呢，和重新建一个新的城市，觉得是一样的。所以最后他们就决定，就是在巴比伦北边有50英里的地方，他们建了一个城市叫塞琉西亚。
Hundreds of years later, Caesar Augustus visited Babylon and commented, "The great city has become a desert."
所以在差不多100年后，这个叫凯撒大帝呢，他就来看这个巴比伦这个地方以后，他当时就说这以前这常年是伟大的城市呢，现在变成了一个就荒野。
In the mid-1800s, an explorer named Austin Layard visited the ruins of Babylon. This is what he wrote.
在大概是18世纪中叶，有一个探险家，他叫做奥斯汀，他就到这个巴比伦这个废墟，他然后去参观，他就这么写道。
The site of Babylon is a naked and hideous waste. Owls start from the scanty thickets, and the foul jackal skulks through the furrows.
说这个巴比伦呢，就变得是光秃秃的，就好像就是没有把这个全是一些这个废墟。这个猫头鹰呢，就藏到这个猫头鹰或者野狗他们所出入的地方。
So for hundreds of years.The once great city of Babylon had laid unoccupied, fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy that only wild animals would live there, and even shepherds would not rest their flocks there because it was just a desert.
所以这就应验了这个上天的允许，所以那个巴比伦那个地方呢，就成了这个野兽居住的地方，没有人，不适合人的住，并且就是牧羊人，他也不愿意在那里边
And then in 1985, a man named Saddam Hussein began to rebuild the city on top of the old ruins through the process of restoration and new construction.
但是呢，这个是到了1985年，有一个人就叫做萨达姆·侯赛因，他就要开始在这个巴比伦废墟上面，他就要开始这个重建的这个重建的过程。
To the dismay of archaeologists, he had his name inscribed on many of the bricks with quaint sayings like, "This was built by Saddam Hussein, son of Nebuchadnezzar, to glorify Iraq."
他并且呢，就是把这个在这个许多的砖头这个建筑上面，他都就是写上，就是说这个是由这个尼布拉斯加的孩子。就是撒旦的胡塞因来建，那么这个是为了这个荣耀伊拉克。
When the first Gulf War ended, he decided he wanted to build a palace over some of the old ruins.
当这个第一次海湾战争结束以后，他决定要在这个上面要建一个现代的这个宫殿。
He named it Sodom Hill.
他把这个就是取名于这个Saddam, Shan.
He was going to begin the construction of a cable car line over Babylon in 2003.
他计划要建立一个游览车线，也能够在这个巴比伦上面，在2003年。
But when the American soldiers visited his country, he had to step down from his office, and the project was halted.
但是当这个这个伊朗战争开始，就是美国军队进到这个国家以后呢，他就是他就是这个就去他就他就他就在在从从他这个他就消失了，并且呢，这个所有东西呢就。
And so the continued war on terror seems to keep Saddam's dream from coming true.
所以这个就连续不断的这些战争呢，有这些就是让他这个梦想呢不能成真。
And so even today, the ruins of Babylon remain uninhabited by permanent residents.
即使今天这个巴比伦这个东西，巴比伦呢这个地方也不是。
And even though it took hundreds of years for the prophecy to come true, it remains true today that Babylon is uninhabited.
So, 即使当时经过这个几百年，让是这个以赛亚他的这个预言变得现实。即使到今天呢，这个巴比伦呢还是不是以居住。
As one man once wrote, "God may be slow, but He's never late."
就像一个人他常常这样写的，说神虽然是缓慢，但是从来不迟疑。
But what does the fulfillment of Babylonian prophecy have to do with you and me?
但是这个巴比伦的这个预言对你和我有什么意义呢？
Well, first it should give us greater confidence in the Bible.
那第一个，它会给我们对圣经有更大的信心。
There are at least 7 prophecies throughout the Old Testament prophets about Babylon that have already been fulfilled.
至少有七个关于这个在旧约关于巴比伦预言它都实现了。
Statistician once estimated that humanly speaking, there was about a 1 in 5 billion chance that all these prophecies could come true.
所以一个统计学家他就预测就是如果所有这些预言都实现的话，大概就是有一亿分之一的可能性。
But in reality, since the future of Babylon actually was in God's hand, there wasn't a chance that the prophecy would not come true.
但是这个这个现实就是因为所有的将来的一切都在神的掌管之中，那就是没有一项是这个神的计划不可能实现的。
The Bible is completely true, and it's worth spending of our time studying it and applying it to our lives.
圣经是完全信实可靠的，它是值得我们去学习，也值得我们去用在我们的生活中。
Secondly, the fulfillment of Babylonian prophecy should give us peace that even though the wicked may prosper for a season, that someday God will punish them.
那么第二点就是关于巴比伦这个应验呢，就是让我们给我们这个平安，就是因为虽然这个恶人他会享乐有这么一段时间，但是神最终会惩罚他们。
The Bible indicates that in the last days there will be a superpower that will be nicknamed Babylon.
圣经也说到说在最后的就是末日，那么有一个也是有一个是超级大国，它这个外号呢也是叫做这个巴比伦。
Some people think that the headquarters for this Babylonian kingdom will actually be in Rome rather than in old Babylon.
有些人想这个巴比伦这个大国，它的这个首府可能是在罗马。
And the superpower is going to oppress believers throughout the world just like the ancient Babylonians oppressed the Jews.
这个超级大国呢，它会逼迫这个世界上所有的信徒，就像这个过去这个巴比伦压迫这个犹太人一样。
But in Revelation chapter 18 verses 1 and 2, the Apostle John sees the ultimate future of the new Babylon.
在这个启示录18:1-2，那么约翰这个使徒呢，他就看到这个将来就是这个新巴比伦将来的这个结果。
After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird."
对，就是之后我看见亮有一位大权柄的天使从天降下，他就因此的荣耀发光，他大声喊着说：“巴比伦大城倾倒了，倾倒了，成了鬼魔的住处和各样的污秽之灵的巢穴，并各样污秽和瘴疾之灵的巢穴，因为列国都被他邪淫大能的酒倾倒了，地上的君王与他相比。
For those Babylons are being persecuted during those last days, they will have the confidence that if the prophecy of ancient Babylon's destruction came true in the past, that the prophecy of the new Babylon's destruction will also come true in their new future.
So these 信徒他们会相信这个磨难期，就是在这个磨难期呢，他们会有信心，这个大巴比伦这个最终呢，他们是要被这个摧毁。
And so today, the Korean Christians can also be confident that though the Burmese government may prosper for a season, sooner or later, God will punish them.
那么今天呢，就是这个客人这基督徒呢，他们也是会有信心。尽管这个缅甸政府他们会繁荣昌盛是一段时期，但最终呢，那么神也会惩罚他们。
And that's why I would like to change the logic statement that I started out by saying.
这就是为什么我要把这个刚才这个我前面说的这个逻辑推理呢，把它改变一下。
And this is what it should be.
Okay, 这就是，那么就是这样的。
If God were a God of justice, He would want to rescue the Christians and punish the Burmese government.
如果神他是一个正义的神呢，公义的神呢，他就会来就惩罚这个缅甸政府，他会拯救这个哥伦图的这个基督徒。
If God were a God of power, He would have the power to rescue the Korean Christians and punish the Burmese government.
如果神是有全能的神，他就会拯救哥伦图基督徒，他也会惩罚这个缅甸政府。
The Korean Christians continue to suffer, and the Burmese government continues to prosper.
但是呢，这个哥伦图的基督徒他还在受苦，那么缅甸政府呢还继续昌盛。
And this is where I would change it. Therefore, someday God will rescue the Korean Christians and punish the Burmese government.
这就是所以要这个改变，就是。有一天神会拯救哥伦族基督徒，神会惩罚缅甸政府。
We might see it here on this earth, or someday we may see it in heaven.
我们或许呢，在我们有生之年看到，或许呢，我们会在这个将来在天国看到。
But just as God rescued the Jews and punished the Babylonians, He will also rescue the Korean Christians and punish the Burmese government.
那就像神拯救以色列人来惩罚这个巴比伦一样，那么神他也会拯救哥伦族的基督徒，也会惩罚缅甸政府。
But that doesn't mean that we should wait for God to bring about justice.
这并不意味着我们要等待神来带来的公义。
There was once a college student who was very angry and frustrated about the problems in the world.
曾经有一位大学生，他非常就是气愤也并且这个困扰对这个世界上这些混乱。
So he went to a dim and seldom used chapel on campus.
所以他就到了一个很少使用、比较暗淡的一个校园里边的一个。
He began to yell and scream at God.
他开始对神来喊叫。
God, you created the world.
神，你创造了这个世界。
Why is it such a mess?
为什么这么混乱？
The wicked prosper and the good people suffer.
这个坏人他们啊好像有平安，他们昌盛，但是好人呢却受苦。
Why even I could make a better world than this?
他说其实我也可能把这个做得更好。
And then the young man heard a small, gentle voice that gently said to him.
所以接着这个这个年轻的学生就听到一个很小的声音啊，很这个柔和的声音对他说。
And that is exactly what I want you to do.
这就是我教你所做的。
The good news is that someday God will make the world a better place.
好消息就是有一天神会让这个世界变得更好。
The bad news is that it's still a pretty messed up world.
那么不好消息就是说在今天呢这个世界呢还是一个很混乱的世界。
So what will you do to make this world a better place?
所以你怎么做能够让这个世界能够变得更好呢？
What will you do to fulfill God's prophecy that justice will someday take place?
所以你要做什么就能够让神的这公义来实现呢？